pressure to buy in. It's your chance to either reaffirm your involvement, or if you're not involved in anything, to buy in, to be a part of the ministry. And that's what we're here for. We're here to minister to one another and to the world. And so that's what today is about. And I know in years past we've had showcase where the leaders have stood up here and mentioned things. But the tables do largely speak for themselves. And so I encourage you to have a look around. If you're visiting today and you're new, you might need some opportunity to see all the things that the church does. A lot of things that the church does isn't seen really by everyone. And so it's a really good opportunity. You know, I wanted to, I was thinking about the passage that God gave me today just to bless us with as we really kick off into the year. And I know that as I talk to Christians around about, I know that I hear a lot of discouragement out in the world where Christians are mixing. And a lot of Christians ask the question, are we really making a difference in the world? You've heard people asking that question. Are we really making a difference in the world? And as a Christian church, you would think that we would make impact, and yet we see so many negative things around as if we're not making much impact at all. The official Australian census tells us that those who claim to be Christian are fewer than a number of years ago. In other words, it's declining those that claim the name Christian, at least on the official census. As we look around the world, we can observe Christian values in play to a large extent, but we also notice the rise of other values. Values that clash with the things that Jesus taught. Values that place some level of threat to many of us as we live. And so we can look at the world around us and we think, well, how are we actually making a difference? If we come to church on Sunday, it's all really nice. We mix with other Christians, but we go out in the open world and think, oh, is there much of a difference at all? Sometimes I even ask that. God, are we doing any good? Are we doing any good? Now, I think if you, many of you are probably answering this question already in your head as I present it, but if you take a step back a little, just ignore the headlines for a second, and take a step back and look at the big picture and just the facts, then the answer is, well, Christianity, of course, is making quite a large impact on the world. We know from last year, the Neighbour Report, which surveyed the church impact or the religious impact on any given city, and the Neighbour Report came back and told us that the Christian churches, at least in Rockhampton, are making a profound impact. Millions and millions of dollars of care and well-being sown into our city through the church. In fact, if it wasn't for the Christian church, you would see schools, hospitals, nursing homes, care agencies, all disappear. The church runs so many of those. Even in our own church, it would be a great loss in our community if our church was to stop making an impact through things like RI. I know we don't run RI now, but we contribute into the RI program. Kids Hope, which you can sign on for out there, mentoring children in state schools in Bremore there. Friday Night Youth, ministering to kids in our city and from Mount Morgan. Craft Ladies on Thursday morning that minister to those that don't come to church. Even our watering can offering, we take up on the first of every month. We take up an offering in a little watering can and we distribute that to help people in need in our church primarily, but outside of our church as well. We have chaplains. Yeah, we're making a difference. We are actually making an impact very, very clearly. I think sometimes it's just that we get discouraged by the world around us. which maybe we pay too much attention to the world, less certain aspects of the world around us. And we can feel that we're not too much of it. It's kind of like the tides going out, trying to contain some water. It sometimes feels a bit like that, impossible at times. But I really think we need to have a lot of hope. We want to deliver this as an encouragement as we launch into the year. That there are good reasons for us to have hope. And I think that we need to grab hold of it. One of the most important reasons why I think we should is some of the things that Jesus actually said about the impact of Christians. In Matthew, we have the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, chapter 7, which is one of Jesus' most famous teachings. And in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13 and 16, Jesus says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled on the foot of the worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." You are salt and light, Jesus said. Salt was a purifier and kept things from going off. It was also something that adds taste. We all understand that. Light stops us losing our way. It gives us direction. As Christians, Jesus says, we become salt and light in the world. And Jesus is saying, don't lose your saltiness and don't hide your light. In other words, don't become discouraged. Don't shrink back. Don't withdraw as if you're not making a difference. Have hope. Be confident. Don't be discouraged. And Jesus continues this Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he unpacks what he means by being salt and light in the world. He talks about how we respond to persecution and how as Christians we respond differently. Or the way we view anger, or the way we view lust and greed is different from the world and how it views those things. The way we treat our enemies is different. We treat people the way we want to be treated is what Jesus taught us. We love when love is not deserved. We forgive when it's hard to do so. We give, we pray, we make promises, all different to the world. We don't worry about the same things that the world worries about. Our priorities are kingdom focused. And that example in the world is salt and light. Not that we want to fall into a pride, a sense of pride that we're better than others. We don't want to walk there. Or judgment, you know, well, you're a sinner and I'm not. We don't want to walk there either. Simply just living different is honorable. And people do take notice. If Christians live according to God's word and live according to the Spirit that is guiding them, we will naturally provide an alternative role model. You know, long time ago, in my garden, I learned the secret of companion planting. You know, a companion knows what companion planting is. Either your arms are broken or it's new. All right, okay. So the trick is, if you plant some plants together, they actually help each other to grow. And I discovered that if I plant marigolds next to my tomatoes, the bugs won't eat the tomatoes. It's just, I see lots of dots. And I think in some ways, can we understand our presence like that? As Christians in the world, it's like companion planting. That, have you ever noticed when a circle of friends and they find out that you're a pastor or a Christian or whatever, and then some people are just immediately apologetic about swear words they just said. Some are, some just swear more just for effect. But, you know, you say, oh, it's funny at a party, you know, and they say, what do you do? I'm a Baptist pastor. Oh, and you can see the cogs thinking about the past conversation they just had. And they're scanning the past conversation to see if they've said anything offended. Salt and light in the world. We are like companion plants, setting an alternative role model, showing a life of Jesus. Now, we can measure our influence. The Neighbor Report did that. We can measure influence of things like programs that we run and the organizations that the church builds. But there is another aspect of influence that's much harder to measure, but it's significantly powerful. It's the stuff not seen in the natural. And that is, we have a spiritual impact on those around us. The story that I want to bring you to today that illustrates this really well is the story of Abraham city of Sodom. Let's go to it. It's in Genesis chapter 18. If you have your Bible there, turn to Genesis 18. I know that many of you know this story really well, and some of you will pick up the connection I'm trying to make straight away. But let's read it, because I think it's an important story and it speaks to our own day today. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. Then Abraham approached God and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of if I find 45 there, must be my app. Copy and paste. Sorry about that on the screen. If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For 40, I will not." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30. Abraham said, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" This is probably one of the most incredible verses. He said, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. For the sake of 10 righteous people, God would not bring judgment." Take a moment to think about that and the impact of that. Now, God intended to destroy Sodom. Sodom, as many of us will know, was full of evil, and there are some pretty gross descriptions in the Bible about what was happening there in that city. The Bible said that God had heard the cries of the people, crying for justice. In other words, people were praying that God would do something about the wickedness in the city, that the people were disgusted, and that they had no choice but to come to God, and they asked God to change it. Maybe there was corruption, maybe there was cruelty, as well as the moral degradation that we read about, which is a pretty awful place. The city was so bad that it was like poison that needed to be cut, needed to be removed. So God did destroy it. Destroyed both Sodom and Gomorrah and Milan by fire from heaven. But God said if there were only 10 righteous people found in the city, he would have spared it for the sake of 10. This is what I mean when I say that we have a spiritual impact on those around us. For the sake of only 10 righteous people, the intention of God would be not heard. Now translate that to us. Translate that into what happened. Now clearly there are more than 10 righteous people. The city is full of righteous people. Meeting in churches just like ours today. Or yesterday. Praising God. Teaching the gospel. Would God spiritually bless the city because of those righteous people? Because of the Christians here? Would God bless the city? Would the ground produce better crops because Christians are here? Would crime decline? Would businesses prosper? Would God protect the city from severe weather events because there are Christians here? These are all examples of what actually have happened in history and in the Bible because God's people are influential in that place. If you've ever watched that series, that video series of transformations. Anyone seen it? It's a bit old now. You have to kind of be old to have seen it. And there's this one place where in South America, I forget where it was, which of those South American countries it was, but there was a great revival, and then they started producing tomatoes, you know, huge tomatoes, and the ground was just that so much wealth. For the sake of the righteous, God blesses. Let me give you a personal example of what this looks like. Now, you might cringe at this, but I believe this is a personal example of it. When I was in high school, way back, you know, when there were TE schools, if you remember TE schools, tertiary entrance schools, and the brilliant, smarty kids, you know, they got 990, right? Because that was the highest one. Anyway, to get into university, there were usually cut-offs. And to get into the course that I wanted to become a manual arts teacher, and so I wanted to apply. And the minimum cut-off for manual arts was 8-20. And I got 8-10. And I didn't think that I was going to get in to my first preference. But surprise, surprise, praise God, I got a letter in the mail, first round offer, to go to Malkovac Teachers College to do manual arts teaching. When I got there, in orientation, they were talking about the problem they had with enrollments, because QTAC, the people that send university students out, had sent them 6 people more than their quota, accidentally. Guess who was the bottom one? My point is, listen, wait for it, God blessed 5 other students, getting them into Teachers College so I could get in. Praise God for mistakes that government departments make. Sometimes. Now you might think, oh yeah, that's stretching a bit, but to me that is an example of how when God blesses Christians, it can rope in the people around, whether they believers or not. The truth is God does bless his people. And as he does, the effects of that touches people around us. As we receive favor from God, so others are benefited as well, whether they're believers or not. And it leads us to probably one of the most wonderful realizations in Christian witness. And that is, there is power in righteous presence. Simply because you are present, God is in that space. You carry the Holy Spirit.
God, and so wherever we go, God is present. Maybe people don't see it easily. Maybe you don't feel it necessarily, but spiritually, you bring God. Even as individuals, we do this because the Holy Spirit shines out through us. The fruit of the Spirit comes in. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things flow out of those. Wherever we are like an aroma of heaven spreading out throughout the community. Combine that with some godly conversations, you have got a major impact on your lives. Restoring people's lives, rescuing relationships, introducing people to God. This is how God changes the world. I want us to take this in as we move into 2023. It's a new year. Today we're launching at Ministry-Wise. And as we move into this year, I want us to feel the impact of this truth on our lives, that there is great power in righteous presence just by being there. Now, tomorrow morning, most of you will go off to work. And when you are walking with Jesus, you will see work differently. You will understand work differently. You'll want to work well. You'll want to work diligently because you want to bring honor to God. That is why the Christians should be the most diligent and hardworking employees. If you are a boss, you know that God will hold you accountable for the way that you treat those underneath you, how you manage them, whether you treat them fairly. In marriage, there is so much marriage breakdown around us. And as Christians, we have the Word of God to guide us and the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can make better decisions in our relationships so that our marriages can shine. We forgive. We don't harbor resentment. We don't twist the truth. We're honest. We refuse all of the things that the world's ideas about marriage project. Our ideas about sex and about family and about all of those things, they're different. And we can be helpful to the world in the way we show them that. Our interactions with people, the way we handle conflict and disagreement is different. We don't manipulate. We're not jealous. We're not lustful. We're not judgmental. We love people because they're also loved by God. These righteous attitudes transform the people around us. Then on top of all of that, there's prayer. We pray for people. We stand in the gap. We intercede for them. We bring their needs and their problems to the throne of God, and as Christians, we pray blessing. This is God's intention. We ask God for healing, and we ask God for provision and guidance. We pray that they would understand the gospel. And as our prayers crisscross the city, we form this web of spiritual covering that makes a difference. Yes. Yes, we're making an impact. Absolutely. Through our programs, we're making a difference. Through our organizations, we're making a difference. In our personal lives, we're making a difference. And in the spirit world, our presence makes a difference. I want us to have hope in that. I want you to believe that. As I leave you with these really encouraging verses that the Apostle Peter writes, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God and the judges. just negative things so easily. And yet you tell us that you sent us into the world to make a difference. I pray that you will open our eyes, not just in theory as we've gone through this story, but in practice to see the difference that we make. We understand, Lord, that when there are no Christians present within a group, there is a difference. We know that as we are present in our work, or in our school, or in our family, or in our club, or amongst a group of friends, Lord, there is spiritual impact. I pray that you would take each one of us that is walking with you, and especially use us in this way. Lord, may you grant us kind favor to be more sensitive to your Spirit's leading, so that we might be more conscious of things that we can do to make even greater impact. Lord, may we be brave when it comes to spiritual conversations. May we have the right energy and motivation when we're tired when it comes to blessing others. Lord, in our relationships, particularly our marriages, may we have the strength and the presence of mind to do what is right, to respond to your Spirit's leading, even when it's difficult. And in that way, Lord, being what you intended, salt and light in the world, help us. My prayer is not just for us in our church, but for all our brothers and sisters in Christ spread right throughout this city who worship you and honor the gospel. May there be great power and influence in them. May they not be discouraged. May we not shrink back as a people, but step forward with great confidence. Thank you, Lord, that you use us to make a difference in this world. And continue to pray that you will do so every day. Lord, I pray an anointing and a blessing today on these ministry areas that are set up on these tables as we sign on to them. Lord, I pray an anointing over these ministries, that the ministries of support that work behind the background, the ministries of outreach that work among the non-church people, the ministries of discipleship, encouragement, and care that work within us to encourage and bless. I pray your power be upon them, and that the Holy Spirit would use the people dedicated into these ministries for great effect. May we see a great impact, Lord, throughout the course of 2023. We pray this, Lord, for your glory, for the encouragement of your church, for the impact and spreading of the gospel. Encourage you to remain after church and avail yourself of sign-up.